please make it loud for Josh Johnson!
I love being in Seattle. It's dope here, you know. Feels like if Brooklyn had mountains. Yeah, it's just a more relaxed, seemingly relaxed pace of life here than I'm used to. Because even y'all's, I'm not critiquing, I'm just noticing. Even y'all's crime is at a slower pace. You know what I mean? Like, y'all still got crime and everything, but when it happens, it's like, everybody's like, oh yeah, that is illegal. This didn't happen this time, but years ago, I was in Seattle, and I saw, it was a very confusing sight. I don't know what I saw, but what it looked like from the outside, looking in Brooklyn to Seattle, what it looked like was this woman's purse had been stolen. But the thief and the woman weren't running. I think that's what confused us all, because we were... Like, one of two things was happening, all right? Either a couple had an argument, the man walked away, forgetting he had been holding his girlfriend's purse. So he walking off in a huff, and then she following him because maybe she knows whatever she said went a little too far this time. Or a man with very little commitment to his craft stole a woman's purse and then casually walked off. And then a woman who must not care about the purse decided, I'll go get it. It was so confusing because the man was walking, and he was walking like casually, just walking, holding the purse, but just walking. And then the woman behind him is like, hey, hey, hey. And then at one point she leaned towards the purse to grab, you know, the strap. And the man was like, huh. That's when I had to reassess the whole situation. Because what if it was not this woman's purse? What if this woman is the lazy thief? What if this man is just trying to have a day out with his purse, and this woman who likes the purse is like, I would like to have that, and I don't plan on paying or running. And they just continue like that down the street. Hey, hey, hey. I watched them do this into the distance. I didn't want to get involved because, you know, you ever get involved in an argument and you pick the wrong side. And now you don't know where you stand. You see two people arguing and everything. It's like you try to step in, you know, try to be not necessarily a hero, but just a good Samaritan. Hey, what's the problem here, right? And then you feel like at the end of this thing, you should have just left it alone. One time, I was doing a bar show, and we get out of the bar show, and in the parking lot is this couple having this shouting match, and this big old dude and this tiny woman, and he's not moving in a way that's threatening her, but he is like just yelling at her real loud, and she's yelling too, but he's got a booming voice and she just can't match his level. And they are getting like a little closer. He's still not like bucking up or anything. It's just, if anything, she's walking up to him, I guess, to make her point, you know, a little bit more clearly. And so, I don't know, my friends and I saw this, and I just walked over, just being like, hey, y'all good? What's with all this yelling? And admittedly, I was talking to him. This is a big old dude yelling at this tiny woman. And I'm in my head, I'm like, all right, hopefully if I step in, somebody will back me up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not big enough to stop him, and I don't know the proper techniques, but if I throw myself at him and somebody else is coming, then maybe together we could come up with something to do. And so he's yelling, she's yelling. I'm like, hey, y'all good? Y'all good? What's up? What's up? Calm down, bro. What's up? And then he's like, she poisoned my dog. Because I had everybody looking at me for when I said, I'm going to go say something. And then they heard that part. And then I'm like, I wish I was over there with y'all. Because y'all were in the minding your business section. That looks like a better section to be in. And I didn't know what to do, because I don't know what their history is, but if the most recent thing that has happened is the poisoning of the dog, if the only thing that has happened is the poisoning of the dog, I think he might be in the right to raise his voice, to have a little volume, you know? I don't know the condition of the dog. And so he says that to me. And in the moment, they had both stopped yelling. They were both looking at me. And then the people who I left, my friends from the show, were also looking at me. And in my head, I'm like, well, this really shouldn't be on me. That's crazy. I came over to defuse the situation, and then I became defused. I was... And so I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? She poisoned my dog. And then everybody's just staring. And so I'm looking at my friends, and I turn back to those two, and I go from looking at him to looking at her, and I go, stop it. Nah, I hate picking the wrong side. Nah, it sucks. I've been watching the news, and I can't help but be taken aback what's going on between people and the companies that these people buy from. Target. They know. Believe me. Target has been in more than hot water. They have been boycotted this year, because Target, they're an interesting case, because they took it upon themselves to try to be, or at least seem, super inclusive of everyone. Now, these companies aren't people. They're trying to make money, and the hope there is that everyone will want to spend their money here if we look like we're for everybody. That's the idea that goes into it. And a lot of people would say that that's just good business. You want to appeal to as many people as possible, so as many people as possible buy your product or products, right? And so they did that. They took it upon themselves to be the place where it's like, look, Target, you can come here, you can get anything. It doesn't matter who you are. We'll make up products just for you. All right, when your month comes around, we're going to make products. We're going to make products that nobody ever made before, because nobody asked for. We are going to blow your mind with our products just for you. And they did. Every year, they managed to blow my mind by making a product that as a black person, I never knew I didn't want to see. You know, Black History Month would come around, and then they'd hit you with something where you're like, I don't... Do you know any black people? Every product that Target came up with for black people during Black History Month felt like they came up with it off a rumor. Do you know what I mean? In my head, I'm like, there's no way a black person pitched this thing, you know? It would just be like... It would be like grape-flavored... You're groaning like you didn't see it, too. Like... Just be like grape flavored root beer or something. It'd be like, hi, I don't know who told you to do this. They would come out with stuff that made you go, okay, well, even if a black person pitched you this, there's no way you're gonna make enough money off of this new product to make it worth it. Like in my head, I was like, selling this for a month doesn't make sense. I think you have a lot of leftover grape-flavored root beer with nowhere to go. And so Target didn't just do it to, you know, black people. They did it to everybody. All of my friends got a special month at Target that made them go, huh, this is odd. And they never got the response that they wanted. You know, like I'm sure Target was like, oh, this, they'll love this. It's Pride Month, they'll love this. But none, not a single one, not any of my queer friends ever said, oh, we gotta get down to Target. They got that rainbow volleyball. You know that rainbow volleyball that we love because rainbow is our whole personality, you know. You know how we've never wanted anything unless it was rainbow. People do to queer people with rainbow what they do to like black people with products sometimes, where they'll be like, I don't know how to market it to black, just make it music, I guess. You know, try to get more black people to, I don't know, eat at Burger King. They're like, what about some drums? You know? And so that's one of the things is that Target, in their efforts, would sometimes still get into like these mini scandals off of people being like, what's the plan here? Some people would be offended sometimes. And then, you know, there's obviously the thing online where people would get mad at the people getting offended. They're offended, the people are offended. And then they take up for Target, kind of, but then they don't even want the product. It's not like they want the product. And so they're taking up for Target because they're like, hey, we like grape flavor root beer over here, right? That never happened. It was always someone like, they made it for you. Why are you so offended, right? And then taking up for Target as if they want a rainbow volleyball. Very weird. It's like a very weird investment to get into like a product that nobody is buying. And then Target would try to like sidestep. They try to come up with something else. It would be worse. It'd be so much worse. Next year, they're like, we're going to do right by everybody. This product is going to kill them, all right? They're going to love it. Watermelon paper plates. And then they see the article and they're like, okay, maybe that was bad. I don't know. Maybe, how was I supposed to know? It's not like any black people are like in the C-suite, so. You know, there was one too that cracked me up. This one genuinely is very funny to me. Like I, none of them really offended me, but I really couldn't get offended at this one because it was so funny. So basically, Black History Month came around and they had made a bunch of like prominent black leaders, these magnets with a bunch of prominent black leaders on them, and all of the magnets were like labeled to the wrong person. Like it was. You could just tell whoever did it that day. Like they were looking at Booker T. Washington, they were like, Muhammad Ali. Like. I just don't know who that product's for. Like personally, I just don't know. Yeah, I don't know who was like, oh, life is good. It's almost perfect. But you know what I don't have? Martin Luther King on my fridge. And sometimes people were more than just offended by these products. Sometimes people felt like that this was like a direct mocking or something, you know? And so then they would boycott Target. And a lot of these previous boycotts, I don't really know how much market value, I don't really know how much stock went down because there wasn't really a unified front on some of these boycotts. I'm sure they hurt, but they didn't make news in how much they hurt, you know? And then in 2020, in the wake of George Floyd's murder, right? Target, like a lot of companies, made pledges. They made pledges. Target pledged somewhere in the neighborhood of like $2 billion to black businesses over time and $100 million to black communities also over time. And yeah, that was a, you know, you look back at 2020 and you remember 22. You remember what everybody was like, we gonna stop being racist. Remember that? Remember in 2020, I mean, we were all in our rooms. Everybody was like, who would I even be racist to? They're not here. You know how hard it is to be racist when they're not even here. You know, we're going to stop it. We're all going to stop it. Companies pledge to stop it. People pledge to stop it. Everything. And then we got outside and we were like, oh, I remember. This is America. Come on now. We got to do a little racism. We said it, but come on, we said a lot of things, all right? We said we were going to learn another language. We didn't do that either. We were inside. You say crazy stuff when you get cabin fever, like, I'll stop being racist. No. And so then you have the next few years where Target themselves. No one was talking to Target that I know of. Nobody had put a Target on Target to like be the great hope of black business. They got involved. They were like, and we'll do $2 billion. But nobody was looking at them that I know of. They just inserted themselves. You know, like an annoying person would. And they made a big pledge. That's a big pledge. Even if you are a multi-billion dollar company, $2 billion is like a lot. And so you see when Target gets all into all the diversity, all the inclusivity and everything, that's just to try to make money. I hope we can all understand that. And not just because they betrayed the things that they said that they cared about like 5 years ago. I think even when they were saying it, even when it was happening, we were like, okay. I look at a company making promises about how much its mission cares about people, multi-billion dollar company. I look at that the way I look at like sexting. If you've ever been sexted before, depending on who it is, you've read the message and you've said to yourself, the thing I say to myself when I read the mission statement of a billion-dollar company. You're not going to do all that. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's... And I don't even know where this money was supposed to go or where it started going or if it was just for the press release. I have no idea. But I know that when Trump won, Trump immediately, day one, was like, we're going to get rid of DEI. We're going to get rid of all of these programs. We want everything to be merit-based and fair. So obviously we have to get rid of as many people as possible who earn their position over time. And so that's what they did. He started making moves immediately. And then Target, once again, could have done nothing. That's what's so crazy about the situation Target's in. They could have said nothing. Nobody was checking for the watermelon paper plates. In fact, if a Black History Month went by and Target didn't make a new product, we probably would have thought, wow, good on you. Y'all really have learned from your ways. Y'all really a regular store now. You're not trying to help or anything. You're not throwing out, you know, Malcolm X, but it's Michael Jackson. Y'all are just being a regular store where I can go buy regular paper plates. You know, they didn't have to say anything, but then Target came out once again, inserting themselves like an annoying person would, and being like, hey, we're getting rid of DEI too. People were like, oh, okay. Once again, no one was talking to you. And look, these are moves that are made for money. That's what they always were. There's no, even when I heard about those pledges from Target, it didn't make me go, ooh, Target, you care about me. I was like, all right. Yeah, I guess the next time I'm on my way home, I need one of those, like, toothpick things. You know the thing that's like floss, but it has a handle. I guess if I need one of those and Target is on the way home, maybe I'll buy it at Target. That's as much as it moved me. But just because I didn't have a business and I didn't really know what this pledge meant, so it didn't like change my mind about Target. I don't care about Target enough for my mind to be changed. I just went on about my life. And then whenever they made this statement of like, we're getting rid of all of our DEI too, I was like, guys, I still don't care about you. Like, you can't move me one way or the other. There are other stores on the way home. But people who either were pledged that money or have been watching Target to make sure they kept their word, they noticed that statement. And they noticed that it's pretty convenient to get all the social capital out of making a pledge, a $2 billion pledge and a $100 million pledge that you haven't had to come up good on, and now you're going to end it just in time to not really have to get into it. That's very convenient. And so then there were people who called them up on it. They were like, all right, look, a pledge is a pledge. You can label it however you want, but you said publicly that you would be donating this money. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to boycott. We're going to boycott Target. And then this Target boycott started, and a lot of people poo-pooed it initially. A lot of people were like, Target gets boycotted all the time. Didn't you hear about the grape-flavored root beer? But this thing was different, and there's a lot of numbers in it. There's a lot of numbers to the tune of $100 million to you know, more than $2 billion. This thing takes off, like really takes off. And I found out about it late. I did. I'll tell you right now. I found out about the Target boycott very, very late. And I don't mean very, very late as in yesterday. I found out about it when I was in Target. I was in Target. And then there was somebody also in Target leaned over to me and was like, hey, we don't shop here right now. You got to see this from my perspective real quick. From my perspective, I had gone into a store. Into a store. I'm not thinking about his Target. I went into a store to get what I needed to get. And then while shopping, I was approached by someone who was like, "We don't shop here right now." You know how perplexing that is? So many things were going through my head at one time. Because the first thing is like, "We don't shop here right now." In my head, I'm like, "All right, do you work at like Walmart or something? Like, do you..." What's your deal, right? Then I had another thought. I was like, okay, all right. We don't shop here right now. But you're in here. I said, "But you're in here." And they were like, "I'm in here to let people know we don't shop here right now." And I was like, interesting and effective. Like, I wasn't aware. It's just so funny to have somebody in the store to let people know we don't shop at the store. It just feels like the most... It's just the most, like... what's it called? It's the most civility I've seen in what must feel like to the store, robbing the store. Because I put that, like, in my hand, I had the toothpick with the handle. And I was like, "Aw, I already had it in my hand, but I guess I can put it back." And then I walked out, and that's money that they didn't make. It's like that thing is effective. And so I didn't buy the toothpick thing. I left, right? And in my head, I left, but I was also like, "All right, that thing was like $6. So I guess I didn't get my $6, but hopefully they really needed it. Hopefully that $6. I love when a company who's done something bad need the money bad. Like, you know, like when somebody needs the money bad, they're like, "Hey, look, brother, look. If you can hold me over with this $8. And so, you know, I left. I went to CVS. To my knowledge, they hadn't done anything, so felt like a safe place to get the toothpicks. I've had something in between my teeth the entire day, so I need it desperately. Even when the man was telling me we don't shop here right now, he was like, "Ooh, you got..." And so, yeah, so I left and wasn't really sure what would come of it. And then on the way home, I'd see Target and be like, "Ah, yeah, whatever. I'll make it to CVS. It's two more blocks." Really not knowing, because a boycott now is different than a boycott from the past. A boycott from the past, you had to. It was imperative that you used your body and your voice to be there in real time. You had to go there. You had to go out. You had to pick it outside of the store to let people know how you felt about the store and the numbers that you had. It sort of dictated the narrative, you know, because they couldn't run. They had newspapers that they could maybe run some ads in or try to create a narrative, but nobody could argue with what they saw with their own eyes. Not yet. It wasn't present day. Because now, if you want to boycott, you have options. You have options you never had in the past. You can be there with your voice, with your body, right? Or you could be online organizing a different picket line, organizing a different room full of people in agreement with you, outrage at this company. You think they've done something wrong. And it doesn't even have to be a worthy cause. Truly, that's what's crazy about it. It's like, it's the same as it's always been, but there's just different avenues to do those same things. So now you have the benefit. Instead of needing to fly everyone who cares about this thing and thinks this thing to the same space that you're in right now to be in a picket line with you so you can show the company that hundreds, maybe even thousands of people feel this way. You can just be online. These companies, they're trying to be just like us. They're trying to act and behave like people. They want you to think of them as a person, which is why they do things to try to ingratiate themselves to you like a person would. They make pledges of things they'll do, things that maybe would ingratiate you to them and feel like they're your friend. They're not your friend. They're a corporation. But you can use the fact that they want to seem like a person to you to let them know how you feel about them. That's access that has never happened until now, you know? And so you get all of these people doing it at one time, and it does have a compound effect. Because it's not as visible as it was in 50s, 60s, 70s, I think we sometimes lose a little bit of hope and a little bit of understanding of what a boycott can do or what a protest can do. Because it seems like these companies have so much money that they can never be brought back down. But that's just not true. You know, you look at Target from then to now, and I know market valuations go up and down. I know they fluctuate. Things are not set in stone just because they go bad for a while. But them going bad for a while is a wake-up call to the company. And people boycotted Target, even up until present day. I don't know when it'll be over, to be honest with you. I really don't know when I can go in Target again. And I'm not thirsty to go in Target again. I'm just like, it's on the way home, and I just have to keep reminding myself, like, nah, we not. Mm-mm, no, right? But Target has lost more than it promised. Target's lost more than $100 million and has lost more than the $2 billion that it pledged. You know, by the most recent estimate that I saw, and it could be different on a different day, it could be different in this moment, but Target, through this boycott, has lost somewhere in the neighborhood of $12.4 billion in market value. And it's because of people boycotting. I think a boycott is also difficult to wrap your head around sometimes because it's not doing something. You know what I mean? It's not. You aren't. It's not like like when you go and protest, you went and you protested, and now your throat is sore, your feet tired. But a boycott is like, don't. Like y'all are doing it right now. Like y'all are boycotting Target right now. You just don't go. Because I'm like chronically online, sometimes people get upset about stuff, and I don't get it, because it's not my thing to be upset about. Like it's not, maybe it's not my culture, or I don't have the connection to it that other people have. So, you know, I don't necessarily take all outrage seriously, but when people are upset, I try to hear them out to a point. Doesn't mean I'm going to agree, but I'm like, let's see why this is such a big deal. And I didn't know about the attack on culture that's been happening this week. I didn't realize how bad things are out here. I didn't know. Admittedly, I didn't know. I looked into it as soon as I did. I had no idea the impact of changing the Cracker Barrel logo. I didn't know what this would do to people. Now, if you're sitting there wondering, what is Cracker Barrel? What is... If you were sitting there wondering what is Cracker Barrel, you've lived a good life. If you're sitting there wondering what Cracker Barrel is, you are doing perfectly fine. But just to bring you up to speed, it is a restaurant, a sit-down restaurant, and they have a side that is restaurant. They have a side that's like little gift shop, knickknacks and stuff. It's very cute. I grew up in the South, so I grew up with Cracker Barrel, right? And Cracker Barrel, look, listen to me, all right? sometimes something happens, and everyone is so reactionary now that, like, they don't form their opinion authentically. I saw this, and I didn't care. And when you don't care, you're able to be at least a little bit closer to objective, right? So I saw what was happening. They changed the Cracker Barrel logo. If you've never seen the Cracker Barrel logo, get ready. As far as logos go, it does the job. It says Cracker Barrel, and then there's a barrel. And then there's a guy next to the barrel, right? And the guy next to the barrel posted up. The guy next to the barrel is out here feeling himself. He's over here like... And the new logo... It says Cracker Barrel with really nothing else. We're really like just two ovals around it. It is objectively worse. I understand that the people upset are making it about something that I at least don't think it's about, right? Because there were people that saw them get rid of the guy and the barrel. And then they were like, this... The first impression was of someone who had a stroke over it. So that... But people genuinely were like, this is insane. This can't stand. This is white genocide. Listen to me. I'm no expert, and I could be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. But I'm pretty sure that just as many white people are alive after they change the logo. As there were before the logo change. And any people who have sadly passed was incidental. I don't think it had anything to do with the Cracker Barrel logo change specifically. And look, I don't know who this dude was to the... Like, I don't know if somebody just drew him or if that's, like, the founder. I don't know because, admittedly, I didn't care enough to get into it. But all I know is that look, I'm not on their side as far as everything they're saying, but this is a worse logo. Like, it just is. They basically did the Washington football team to white people. They just up there saying what it is and not giving us anything else. Nah, it's rough. It really, that's bad. It's, especially with that guy. That was, I don't know. Y'all did it. It said Cracker Barrel, and then there was the barrel, and then there was the... the guy. Y'all being rude, not me. And so, yeah, Cracker Barrel was facing immense backlash, threats of a boycott. They dealt with Cracker Barrel over here. And admittedly, look, if we're talking business for a second, just business, it is kind of wild that... The CEO said something to the effect, this is what I've read, the CEO said something to the effect of, MAGA doesn't have to eat here, will respect their decision not to, right? So they got directly called out. They got directly called out by this CEO. I don't even know what prompted it. I don't know what the question was that led to that answer. But I will say, look, we talking business. From business. Remember, business. I'm going to throw it out there, and I could be wrong. I love being wrong. I could be wrong. But I do think they were the only ones eating there. So, like... That would be like the dude at the Red Hat Company being like, we don't need MAGA. It's like... Unless there's a new baseball team, I think you might. No, it was truly wild. And now MAGA's had a insane backlash. Look, I don't know what's bots and what's actually people upset. All I know is I've seen a lot of tweets. A lot of tweets being like, I can't believe, look at these. You know what's funny too? It's like sometimes people get mad at you and they start describing you in their anger. And it doesn't sound as bad as they think it sounds, but because it's what they're mad at you about, it sounds bad. I saw this one tweet that was like, look at this woman. She single-handedly tanked Cracker Barrel stock because she wanted to be a woke girl boss. She wanted to put her whole life into her career, and then she rose to the level of CEO, only to tank the company, though. She tanked the company. And yes, she's a young CEO, but she tanked the company. I'm just like, as you list the thing, like, as I was reading the tweet, I was like, I mean, outside of like 8 of these words, this is a good LinkedIn profile. That's why it almost felt like a bot, because it was like complimentary and angry at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, after her departure from this company, she came to Cracker Barrel, where she quickly rose through the ranks, only to tank the company, but quickly rose through the ranks. Okay. No. And that's the other thing that's frustrating about being online right now, is like, because so many people are not clear with the joke they're trying to make, I don't know what is a joke as far as like the remodel and redesign of Cracker Barrel, because that's also what's happening. They changed the logo, but changing a logo is what companies do when they're just floating something. They're just throwing the idea out there to sort of test the market reaction. Maybe they've already actually changed the logo, but it's very easy for a company to tweet out from the company account, what do y'all think about this logo, and do your market research that way. It's simple enough. But they said that not only were they changing the logo, they were going to remodel and redesign 500 locations, is at least what I read. And I saw a picture of the redesign. Look, I already wasn't eating at Cracker Barrel, so it's really like no stress to me. But for those that love Cracker Barrel, I was a little stressed out for them, because they really trying to modernize it, I guess. And the reactions to it were interesting. The reactions to it, it blew my mind a little bit. Because there were people genuinely being like, this is an erasure of American culture, and it is an erasure of white culture, like white heritage and everything. And like, I've been to a Cracker Barrel, and yes, it's very white, but like, I'm not even saying Cracker Barrel is bad. I'm just saying, like, ugh. I'm trying to like figure out how to word this. Like, it's like, if you want to just talk about like white culture. Like, if you're concerned with, like, white heritage, it's just Cracker Barrel should be so low on that list. You know what I mean? I've grown up around white people. I have white friends. I've known white people my whole life. And very few have ever mentioned Cracker Barrel when it wasn't at the next exit. Like, I didn't know it meant this much to white people. That's ignorant of me. I am sorry to be walking around in America of all places not knowing how important this was to your heritage and culture. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for anybody, but I feel like even white people read that were like, me? I've had Cracker Barrel because, you know, I've been on the road. And I've always had it when it was like the last stop. It was like you either eat now, because they know where to put the Cracker Barrel. You either eat now or you wait 35 minutes until the saddest McDonald's. Do you know what I mean? It's either like, look, you either have a burger or some pancakes, or you wait 35 minutes to be poisoned. You can decide. You can either have a little too much syrup on your pancakes, or, you know, have the Snickers-flavored hemlock. It just makes me mad. They're not even trying to be food anymore. They're like, no, we put the fryer is in the floor now. Like, we just... It doesn't change. It does not change. I have a friend he's sweet. He's a good person. He's a very good person. But he is, like, gross. That's just a fact. I'm not being mean. I've told him to his face. And he has before, you know, eaten in his car to the point of not knowing that he had like a wrapper in his car, and to the point of like maybe not finishing his meal in the car, going inside, and to the point of having an old burger in his car for quite a while. And a McDonald's burger, to be fair, not just picking on McDonald's here. Any burger left out for long, for days, for road trips will smell. My problem is a McDonald's burger left in your car for a month. Stop smelling. Food. Is supposed to go through a process. Whatever that food is, it could be fruits, it could be vegetables, it could be meats, right? It could be everything except like maybe seeds are supposed to go through a change. You know, they get to a point where they're growing, they get to a point where they're ripe. Even if it's meat, you get to a point where the animal is killed, the animal is prepared, and then the meat is there to be eaten. Even with processed food, the process is usually to extend the shelf life of the food, but there's still a time to eat it and a time to not. And the fact that McDonald's goes through the process, like the burger goes through the process, they actually, you know, I think, kill a cow. They actually, I assume, make a burger. And then they actually sell it to you. And then maybe you get two. And then you only have time to eat one. And then maybe it falls off the passenger seat. And then it slides back because you were making a sharp left turn because you don't know how to drive. So You change lanes last minute when you're on the highway like a lunatic who's trying to get killed, who's trying to be injured in a car accident. And so you swerve, and then that swerve slides the burger under the seat, and you go about your life. You know, you get home, you go to work the next day, you come home, you go to work the next day, you come home, and you do start to smell something. But because you're gross, you're not going to do anything about it. You just sort of know that you smell it. You're aware that there is a smell. You just are thinking about it sometimes, like, never mind. That's the thought process of someone who is nasty. Because you know it's in your car, you know it's here. And you recognize it from before, from the last time you went, nah, probably not a big deal. Probably not worth addressing. And then you wait. You wait until a friend, a good friend, a person who is not nasty, person named Josh gets in your car because you offered them a ride. And when you take one of your famous left turns and almost hit the car in front of you, you slam on the brake. And when you slam on the brake, something slides to the front of the... Something hits poor Josh's foot. Josh, being inquisitive, looks down and sees a fully wrapped McDonald's burger, and reaches down, and there's a feeling in the burger. A little tough. And then I'm like, oh, your burger fell. And then you disgusting freak, you go, what burger? And I'm like, this burger. And then I hold up the burger, and then you go, huh, I haven't had McDonald's in weeks. And then Josh goes, oh. It's either that or Cracker Barrel, okay? And look, a part of me understands where people are coming from. Part of me understands that some people hate change. Some people love the nostalgia of going to Cracker Barrel. Some people just, they like it as a restaurant and they would prefer it stay the same. That's actually pretty normal. I even get upset sometimes when a grocery store that I like switches up the aisles a little bit. They're like, actually, we figured that the noodles should go over with the pasta. We had broken it up by ethnicity of the foods, and then we were worried that looked bad, so then we just put every noodle-shaped thing together. The noodles, the pasta, even just long sticks, they all on the same aisle right now, because we're one people. We don't want to break people off and make people be like, ooh, you're not as good. You got to go further in the store and to aisle 8 because you like this sort of noodle. We just put everything in one. even when that's their reason, I'm like, ugh, why'd you have to change it? I knew where it was. Now I got to be in here longer. And so I get people who are like, I just don't like it. I don't get people who are like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. That always, like, ends up, I don't know, people always end up telling on themselves in that regard. If this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you, that a company you don't own changed their logo that you only looked at when you went. I don't know who loves Cracker Barrel enough to have the logo in a frame and kiss that picture every night before bed. I don't know what sort of Cracker Barrel freaks are out there. But yeah, the people, the backlash has been stiff. It was swift. It happened quickly. They announced this change, and then they lost, apparently, $100 million in market value. I didn't know there were that many people to be upset about Cracker Barrel in dollars. I don't know if Cracker Barrel can afford that. The knickknacks are only like $2, so. No, they're in hot water right now. You just never think of the word valuation when you think of Cracker Barrel. Do you know what I mean? Like if Cracker Barrel, if they had been talking about Cracker Barrel on like Wolf of Wall Street, it would have been because the main character was smoking crack out of a barrel. You know what I mean? Like, wild to me that people are this upset. And that's, I don't know, that's what I find interesting about like boycotts and protests sometimes, is that it just needs to be intentional to be effective, you know? And it could happen to any company. They forget that all the time, that it could happen to any of them, you know? But it just doesn't happen often enough. You know, they've consolidated to a point, they've built up monopolies to a point where if you're going to participate, you have to buy from one of them or some of them some of the time. And that's the situation we find ourselves in, you know? And then it's nice when you get a little glimmer of hope when people decide to, you know, vote with their dollar and say, if this is how you feel about me, Target, then nah. Then no. And then, while you may not be Target's number one customer, you may not be a Target head. Them not getting your $350, them not getting your $26.42, them not getting your $100, them not getting your $5, them not getting your $3, them not getting your $485, you're moving. Them not getting all manner of money from you starts to equal up to about $100 million. And because of the system that we live in, you know, very few of us, and I say us as in all of America, will have that much money to move. That is a very minute part of the entire population that has that amount of money to move, but together we have that much money to move. You know? And because these companies are not people, because people you can reason with, people can understand something that is based in logic, you know? But companies don't. Companies only understand gains and losses. And so the only way to make them understand is to make them lose. And make them lose so much that it hurts, and it really hurts. And then maybe when it really hurts, they'll make a change, not because better people are there, not because they fired a CEO and then hired a better person as a CEO. I don't know that many CEOs, but I imagine at a certain point, they have a similar outlook on the company and a similar outlook on the employees. I think that because of the system that we've built, when it comes to corporations, you're going to find very few compassionate CEOs or just incredibly reasonable people who want to do what's best for the customer. That might be what they say, but what the company does is different. And so I think that inside of all of that, you make the company hurt until someone comes along, and maybe their background is in accounting, maybe they're a sociologist, who knows, maybe they started in PR, but they know we have to reverse course or else the hurt will continue. And then you get what you want. You get what you boycotted for, what you protested for. These things are still possible, and it is simple. It is not easy, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time. We are at an advantage. We're at an advantage that the people in the 50s, 60s, and 70s weren't at, because we don't need to be there all the time with our body using our specific voice. We can organize online. We can organize in person as well. We can build community around a cause. And then we can exact that cause to the tune of $100 million, you know? And then when that thing happens, maybe the next company will go, but you know what happened to Target.
When I can.